Let's pray and ask the Lord. His presence is here, but we always want to continue to have more of him. Jesus, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your presence. God, we ask that you would come even more now on us. We just wait here for a minute, God. Thank you, Lord. We just confess how much we need you. God, just bring, just touch our hearts, God. We confess places that are need to be conformed into your image, God. We just lay down distractions, lay down burdens. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Do you guys remember, well, you may not remember this, but I like looking at these old videos. Have you guys seen those videos where the Beatles kind of came over and what would happen to the crowds? You guys remember that? What would happen to ladies? Like very civilized housewives would see the Beatles, right, and absolutely go crazy, right? You guys seen those videos? Remember that? Maybe you haven't. You need to Google that, okay? Put on YouTube. Or the same with Elvis Presley. In fact, you guys know, one of the main items that they sold at Elvis's concerts were ladies' underwear. I'm not lying. Because you just lose control, right? And it's just funny. These women would just shake, and something about being famous, a singer, and people would lose control over their bodies, right? You know, imagine if we were sitting in our church right now, and Steph Curry and LeBron James walked in. Right now. I just said, guys, I've got two friends. I would like Steph Curry and LeBron James to come forward. Would that change anything in this room? I mean, would we just sit, well, they're just going to sit over there. We might change. I think so, right? I think if they came, so when I was engaged, Angie and I had two different times where we were dating and then broke up. We had, our last time of being broke up was for like 9 months, and then we got back together. We didn't really tell people we were dating, and we did it, we were at Tabor, mostly talked on the phone and at night, and then we got engaged quickly, and so we had fun announcing our engagement on New Year's Eve of 1997, and we would have a video camera. Now, I was so excited. Something had so changed in my life that I could hardly get out the words, right? So I would introduce people. I'd say, this is my wife, Angie. I just couldn't even talk, right? Because something had changed in my life. So in the same way that these women were changed in the presence of Elvis Presley, excitement, how we would maybe change if someone famous is to walk in, or I changed. We want to talk today, what would happen if the glory of God was to absolutely come in fullness in this room, right? I mean, I'm talking the raw fullness of God, unfiltered. What would that do? What would that do to you if you could see and behold God? Woe is me is right. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. God's goal from all of creation is to find a people for himself. He wants to find a people that are his very own, a people that he could dwell with, that he could adopt, that he could have in deep relationship. And then in this, with this group of people, he wants to come and partner with his people and labor, co-labor with them so that they will reign and rule and extend his kingdom. That's really the story of the Bible, right, in one way. God says, I'm going to adopt a people. You're going to be my people, and now I want you to be my very representatives on earth and go extend my reign and kingdom. And that's the simple story of it. There's a lot of ways we could describe it, but that's one. So this morning, we're going to talk about the first part of it. What does it mean that God would dwell among us? What does it mean that God's presence is in us, is with us, is in this planet? So we're going to look first at the Old Testament, a couple stories, and then the New Testament. Now, we need to understand the word glory. The word glory in the Old Testament, one of the most translated words, is from the word kabod. Okay, the word kabod means weight or importance. Everybody say weight. And everybody say importance. And so this is the weight. So it's the reason that people are famous is we have assigned importance to them, right? Is there any difference between LeBron James and myself? There isn't, as far as he's a man and I'm half a man compared to him. No. We're the same, right? If you took our DNA and the elements of who we are, but LeBron does things that I can't do, right? Because he can shoot a basketball and he can dunk, we have, our culture has assigned weight and importance to him, right? It's why LeBron's shoes cost $200, right? Is there any difference between $200 pair of shoes or $90? I don't know that there is, but they have LeBron James' name on them, right? So there's weight, importance. The other aspect of the glory is the very atmosphere of heaven. It's the substance of heaven. So when we think, what is heaven like? If we were to go up there, tap into absolutely where God's presence is, that's his glory, right? The essence of heaven, the essence of who God is. So that's what we think of when we think of this word glory. Now, the raw glory of God, unfiltered, would kill us. You guys realize that? You realize that if God's glory came and you had no shield, no protection, that you would be dead right now, right? So we can't handle that, but because of his blood, because of Jesus, we can be in his glory. All right, so the Old Testament. Everybody can turn to Genesis 2 and 3. And we're going to look at the Garden of Eden. So what happened in the garden? Well, God created man in his own image with a capacity to know God, to have his spirit. In fact, it says that God blew his spirit into man. Do you know the difference between us and animals or what? We have flesh like animals, right? Animals have a soul. They can feel, have emotions. How many know animals can feel, right? Dogs, they feel, right? We had a dog, Scooter, and when Ethan was born, our dog, Scooter, got depressed, right? Because he was no longer our firstborn, you know, our child, right? He quickly became just a dog to us, right? No more on the furniture. And so Scooter would come out. He lived then. He moved to the back of the house in his kennel, right? And he would come walking out and check on us just to see if we were still holding Ethan. And of course we were. He'd look, you know, he was a beagle, so he had those floppy ears. He looked at us, big eyes, and then he would meander back to his kennel, right? He was depressed, right? He has an emotion. He's got a soul. But does Scooter have a spirit? Can dogs know God? Can they know God? No. They're different than us, right? So the difference between us and humans, there's lots of difference between us, and animals, but is one. We were breathed with God. We have a breath. We have a spirit. So then what is God do? He made him in his image with the capacity to know him, and he told them to what? To be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue it, right? They were actually to reign and rule. Adam got to name things. You guys understand the importance. It wasn't God that did everything. God came to Adam, and he was to name all the animals, right? He had authority to rule. But then we know what happened, right? Adam and Eve blew it. And there is sin. So look at the end of Genesis 3. Something amazing happened. God came and he banned them from the garden. They were to flee his presence. The very sword of God, his presence came. And what did he put in front of Eden, in front of the tree? What did he put? What did he put? Flaming sword and what else? Cherubim. So big old angels, right? These beings came and protected the tree, protected life, protected the very, very Eden, his presence. So then God wasn't finished, and he kept, we see in Genesis, he adopted Abraham, and through Abraham, the patriarchs, his family. So let's fast forward now to Exodus 3. You guys can flip over there. We're going to see how now God formally decides to dwell with his people. We see instances already as Abraham and Isaac, they built altars, and God's presence would visit them. So here we have Moses. And I think about Moses a lot. So for 40 years, where did Moses live? With Pharaoh, right? He had the best food. He was being trained. He would have been a leader. And then he has 40 years of abandonment. And we have no record of what he did other than Moses was a shepherd, right? So can you imagine what it's like to be a shepherd? Every day, long hours, tending to your sheep. Do you ever wonder after year 10, year 20, year 30, if Moses ever felt if God had abandoned him and forgotten him? We don't know. Maybe they had a close relationship. So we have no idea what happened. But here it is. Every single day, Moses is with his sheep, leading his sheep, being a shepherd. And in one day, what happens in Genesis or in Exodus 3? In one moment, what happened? The fire, right? The fire of God, the mountain of God. Moses is there, and God's presence is revealed to him in a powerful way. And he has his attention, and we know what happens. Moses was given instructions to go back to Egypt and to rescue his people, right? So you can watch a couple movies, right, if you want to know the rest of that story. And here they were to come, and God wanted them to worship on this mountain. So a few months later, we have Exodus 24. And they come to the mountain, and they come to worship. And look what happens in Exodus 24. Here they are on this mountain. They've been rescued. God's presence has been with them in powerful ways. I'm just going to read the end of Exodus 24. They came to the mountain, and God himself invited Moses to come up to that mountain. And it's a crazy story, crazy images to me. It says, then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine what that was like? You guys love the mountains, right? Mountains are amazing, but could you imagine being on the foot and watching up at this mountain, and it would shake with the Lord's presence? Can you imagine the heat coming off that mountain? The fire of God, unadulterated, completely raw, and Moses, your leader, is up there. We know after the second 40 days, Moses' face was shining. He got a massive sunburn, didn't he, with the Lord. He had encountered God. He had encountered his very presence, and Moses came down shining. God was coming down to be with him. Now, in Exodus 25:9, the Lord tells them to make a sanctuary, that he wants to dwell in their midst. And he said he would show them this pattern. So that's what happens. When Moses is up for these 80 days, God downloads him and teaches him what heaven is like and teaches him how to make a dwelling place. Now, two details about this. Exodus 26:1, here's something. So what was guarding Eden? It was cherubim. So in Exodus 26:1, he says, as you're sewing these curtains, and they had to have very skilled laborers to make curtains, right? So if you like to sew, you would have had a place there. And he makes in these curtains actually cherubim. So here are these massive curtains that were to protect the holy place and the most holy place where God's ark would dwell, his very presence, and in there protecting them were cherubim, were angels woven into the fabric. And then the second observation from the tabernacle, how many parts of the tabernacle are there? We know, right? Two, three, four, how many? There were three, right? So we had the outer courts, right, that represented humanity, that people could come. We had the holy place that represented kind of the heavens and space. That's where the priests would come and do the sacrifices. And then the most holy place, which represented God's throne, the very essence of God. And a high priest would only go in once a year. So three aspects representing, you know, the three parts of God. And then in Exodus 40, we see the very fire of God coming down on this tabernacle to be with the presence of God. So I want to think just for a second of this. In all of the Old Testament, those were the images of God, or fire for his glory. Any time God's presence and his glory came down, it says that the priests would fall, or they would be on their faces, right? We said, somebody said, woe is me. When Isaiah saw God, he was, woe with me. He said, woe is me. Full of sin and realized how evil he was and corrupt. All right, flip then to the New Testament. So now we have this Old Testament. We know all that was leading to Jesus. And John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews 1:3 says, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So here is Jesus. He came as a man, but fully God. He's revealed the fullness of what it would be like to be, if God dwelt among his people, we see exactly how it was like in Jesus. The fullness of God. The reality of what heaven, the rules of heaven, the reality of what the kingdom of God was like, the kingdom of heaven, we see demonstrated in Jesus. Everybody that came to Jesus was healed. Do you realize that? Everybody that came to Jesus, he didn't necessarily go out and heal everybody, but when people came to him, he had breakthrough all the time. He showed us what it means to have justice. He showed us what it was like to empower women, right? To talk, to be what God would be like on earth. We look to Jesus. Jesus carried the fullness of his Father. And then I love this. What happened when Jesus died? What tore? The veil tore. Now, what was in this veil? What was sewn in the veil? Cherubim. Those cherubim were ripped, right? Meaning what? Signifying what? What was set up in Eden and what was modeled in the tabernacle and in the temple. Now those cherubim are split, the veil, because now everybody has access to the holy place. Everybody has access to the throne of God. We have a return to Eden. We can clap for that. All right, and then what happens in believers? So we have the Old Testament, we have Jesus, and now we have believers. Acts 2, what happened? It says the Holy Spirit fell on the believers, right? So instead of having these sacrifices that the flame would come, now the flame absolutely came on the believers. It says they even saw these flames on their heads, right? And they got baptized with the Spirit of God, with his presence. They were glowing with God, you guys. And then those believers, 120 or so, changed the world. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you know that your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 2:22 says, in him you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So I just want to try to understand this. That mountain picture we talked about with the mountain shaking fire in Exodus 4, where it says the glory of God came and it says Moses could not even be in that place. You guys understand the weight of what's happening? And then Jesus himself, right, that did everything, that did all the miracles, that revealed the Father perfectly. Where is that very real presence now? Where does that presence dwell? Everybody point. Where does it dwell? Here. You guys understand what this means? The weight of God, the essence of heaven dwells inside of you. And then to continue in Revelation 21, the end of things, actually Jesus will bring the new Jerusalem down. And it says he will dwell with his people forever. So God just wants to dwell with you. And then as he dwells with you, he wants to extend his kingdom reign. Something that restored gets really well. All right, so here's time for my analogy. And I've been thinking about how to describe his presence that is filled with us, and then how God wants to grow. So we have different size bottles here, glasses. So we're going to use water to describe the presence of God this morning. So I have different sizes. Can everybody see this okay? All right, so when you are a believer, are you filled with the Spirit? Do you need to get somebody special to pray for you, or are you filled with the Spirit when you are saved? You're filled, so you have the Spirit, right? It doesn't matter how old you are, right? If you're 5, are you filled with the Spirit of God when you're 5 years old? Or if you've been a non-believer your whole life and you accept him, do you get the Spirit? Is this full? Yep, it's full, right? Right? Is this the same Spirit? Is there any difference? No. And then as you grow in your walk, do you have greater capacity for the things of God? Right? How many of you can spend more time with God now than you did 5 or 10 years ago, right? Do you guys actually know more about God now than when you were first saved, right? Hopefully you're growing, and so then you get more of his Spirit? I don't know if it's more, but it's you can hold more, right? He can trust you. There's more water here. Well, I'll go full. I'm trying to make this last, right? And then we can get a little bit bigger. All right, well, you get the point. Okay. And the goal is that we become a really big capacity for God, right? Because Ephesians 3 talks about being filled with the fullness of God. And to me, what the fullness of God is Jesus, right? Being able to heal people, to raise the dead, cast out lepers, right? To do the very works of Jesus, right? Are we doing part of those works? Absolutely, right? God's healing in this place. People are being restored. Who has a testimony of being restored in this place, right? Is Jesus coming all the time? But is everybody sick? Is everybody that's sick healed yet? Not yet, right? So we're crying out for more. We want the fullness of him. But then here's the deal, right? So what's different about this one? It's a little bit bigger, but there's rocks in this, right? So this, what we're going to talk about, just as I close, is we can have a great capacity for God. We can spend lots of time, but if we've got rocks, is this as full as it could be? Right? There's things restricting it, right? Right? Now, how this works, just to complete the analogy, the idea is what? Is that we pour our lives out to other people, right? So you go and you pray for people, and you constantly pour into people, right? And Pastor Rob alluded to this. What happens if you keep pouring out and you don't keep going to the source? You become pretty dry quick. So the idea is that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, right? Love God. That means being in his presence, being filled up with him, asking God, fill me up, and then pouring myself out. There should be a constant flow. The problem is with this one, though, there's rocks in here, right? So what do we do with these rocks, right? So we're going to talk just quickly about our own lives, our own hearts. Now, our bodies have three realms. And I realize not all of Christianity describes what I'm going to say, so if you disagree with me, it's okay. Lots of people do. But this is one way to look at our bodies, okay? So it's helpful for me, okay? So we have three parts, okay? We have our flesh, okay? Our out. Everybody has their flesh, right? Everybody say flesh. Flesh. Our flesh still has desires, right? If I keep talking too long, your flesh is going to be tired and it's going to be hungry, right? Then we go inward and we have our soul realm, right? So our soul is made up of our what? Our mind, my emotions, and my will, That's my soul. So everybody say mind. Mind. Everybody say emotions. And will. And then you have your spirit, right? The place where God breathed, right? This capacity to know God. But that was dead. And when we are in Christ, we are what? We are made alive, right? And so where does God's presence dwell? In our spirit, right? So this correlates with the three aspects of the temple, right? The outer courts is our flesh, the soul is the inner court, and your spirit is the most holy place. So when we say, where does God dwell? God dwells in our spirits, right? So this is, for me, this is helpful to think this way. So when it talks about in Hebrews 4:12, it says to do what? Divide what? Soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So we need to understand what it's like to be in Christ, to have the presence of God come and dwell in us, but not be controlled by the soul and not be controlled by the flesh. So that's going to spend just a few minutes and then we'll have a prayer time. So some of us, and I think we battle our flesh, don't we? How many of you battle your flesh every day, right? You battle your appetites. Your flesh, how often do you find it does absolutely opposite of what the Spirit of God wants, right? Or is that just me? Our flesh, you guys, we battle all the time, all the time. And then we have our souls, right? And so we have emotions, right? And our mind, our intellect, and our will. And so some of us are governed by our appetites, right? Some of us are just governed by them, right? Or some of us we have lusts, whether they're lust for eating, lust for money, inappropriate lust, whatever they may be, but we are so controlled by those. Or some of us can be so controlled by our emotions, right? Our emotions just wherever they go. And our emotions, if I feel like following God today, I do, right? If I had a good day, my emotions are engaged, then I fall. But if I'm down and depressed, then I'm not even touching God, right? You're controlled by your emotions. Some of us are governed by our intellect, right? And so we have reason, and so we try to understand everything with our mind, right? And then our wills just kind of go along with those, right? My will feels rebellious. Some of us struggle with rebellion, right? And then we aren't submitted to God. The goal, my friends, is that the Spirit of God that dwells in you, your place, your inner place, your most holy place where God dwells, would leak and be led every other part of you. Galatians 5 talks about walking by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Do you understand you can still walk by the flesh as a believer? You understand that? Now, positionally, your identity is in Christ. Perfect, right? But everybody knows what it's like to have a bad day, right? You know what it's like when the Spirit of God's not reigning in your life, right? We know that. And so our goal as believers, you all, is to go deep within, to understand that the very essence of His Spirit lives and dwells in you. And you are to go deep and let the Spirit of God take control over your emotions, right? So that's why we need, at times, healing from our emotions, right? Because we have emotions that are out of whack, right? It's why we need God to bring healing to our mind, right? How many of us believe lies, right? We have lies, things that aren't true. So that's why we need to study the Word of God. We need our minds renewed. And then as we do those things, we submit our will. We say, God, I surrender my will to you. And then our flesh, of course, that's why we do spiritual disciplines, right? It's why we do disciplines every single day, right? Now, does raising your hands do anything? No, not really, right? But when you're raising your hands, what are you doing? You're telling your flesh, I'm submitting, right? The Spirit of God that's here, I'm going to choose to submit in this moment. So we need God's presence to be activated in deeper ways in our lives. And that's why, for me, prayer and worship are so important. We have to spend time with the Lord. We have to spend time with His presence. Because these things are not natural. How much of your time is spent in the world? Think about your time in a week. How much time we engage in social media, how much time we're on the television, how much time we're talking with friends, we're in work. And those things can be spiritual, right? But they so often aren't. And so what happens is our hearts, our soul, we get hardened to the things of God, right? So when you come to worship on a Sunday morning, you may feel disconnected from God, right? And it takes you a while, maybe by the second or third song. But see, if you're like me, my mind runs often, right? My mind's very, very distracted, right? My mind does not want to meditate on God. Or if I've had a fight with my wife, right, it's really easy. Pastor Rob will talk about, we know this. Most fights for pastors happen not, they happen on Sunday mornings, on the way to church often, right? So this morning I just came early, so I didn't have to worry about that. But it's true, right, Pastor? I mean, Sunday mornings often, or Saturday night. And so, I mean, if you come to church mad, right, your emotions are worked up, right? I'll be thinking about that. See, our emotion, our mind, any of those things will keep us from going eternal, going deep within. But I just want you to understand you have the presence of God in you. You are filled with His Spirit. You have access to Spirit. I don't care how long you've been a believer. It's very real. It's the very substance of God. It's not a substitute. There is not a junior Holy Spirit. It's not like you're getting, you know, like Dr. Pepper, right? Could you imagine if you had Dr. Pepper in here? And then finally you get water, you know, get God's presence. You get access to His Spirit, access to His presence. But the idea is that we want to be bigger capacities for Him, right? We want to be bigger. Okay, so the first point is God's in you, my closing. The second, though, then, the other thing that we're doing, and Rob, we talk about this a lot, is we want our cities to be the dwelling place of God. We want the very real presence of God and His glory and to come down and reign with us. And this is what I love to call revival, right? Pastor Rob gave a great message on revival at our unity service, and he talked about these stories, and you all realize when God's presence comes down, there's sometimes a repeat of what we saw in the Old Testament. In Wales, they had to close the bars, and the police stopped working because God's presence, His Spirit, came down in such purity and such holiness that people were clean. There was no sin. It was revival. It was tangible. The tangible realm of heaven was being felt by everybody. When Jonathan Edwards, you guys realize Jonathan Edwards was not an eloquent speaker. He would read his sermons like this. And it said in the First Great Awakening, when Jonathan Edwards preached, people would buckle under the Spirit of God. They would just ache. They you know, it was God's presence, and they were seeing their sin, and they would literally fall out of their chairs. And they would just weep. They'd have special rooms they'd carry, the people that really manifested His presence, because you know they didn't want to be so distracting, but people were just weeping in the presence of God. Jonathan and I were just reading, but God's glory coming, and people just buckling by the weight of seeing their sin. This is what revival is, right? And that's what we're crying out. We don't need social programs, right? We don't need the government to do more, right? We need the church to carry the fullness of God's presence. We need God's glory to come on places like Restored and Lighthouse, and the city will change around it. You know, my last illustration, thinking about, could you imagine right now if I tried to carry 800 pounds, what it would do to me? Right? I'm not very strong in the natural, right? Hopefully in the spiritual realms we can be strong. If I carried 800 pounds right now, I would be crushed, right? I don't know that anybody in here could carry 800 pounds right now, right? That's a lot of weight. It's a lot of weight. See, God wants His fullness on you, and we ask for that, but God wants to develop you first, right? So that's why He gives you His presence. You have Him, right? But the more you learn to sustain, the more you learn to be disciplined, the more you are obedient, the more holy you become, the more you spend time with God, become broken, grow in your knowledge of Him and how weak you are, what happens? You can start standing up more and more in his presence, and he disciplines you. And then pretty soon you can go from carrying 100 pounds to 200, and God can trust more and more with you. Let me ask you a question. If God gave you more today, what would you do with it? If he actually gave you the desires of your heart, what would you do with it? Would you blast it all over social media and tell everybody, or would it be something that God could trust with you in the secret place? See, God wants to trust you with more of himself. He wants to reveal, but he's looking for a people that would be pure and be holy. So Steve, you want to come up the worship band? We're just going to pray for a few minutes and we'll be done. But I just want us to think about potentially this morning, as you think about the three realms that you have. What's guiding you this morning? What's in control? What's leading you? So I think very, very few people actually get access to the Spirit of God within them. What's amazing was God was everywhere in the tabernacle, right? God was everywhere. But only the high priests went in and were invited. In the new covenant, you all have access to his presence. You all have access. But I think that a lot of us are just content staying in the outer court. Some of us may go in a little deeper, but very few of us absolutely go to the inner place and understand what it means to dwell with God there, to be content. Could you imagine if you never had distractions anymore from the outer, your flesh? Could you imagine? That's what God wants for you all. He wants it where you can go deep within, where you have absolute peace and harmony inside you. That's what God wants for you this morning even. And so we're just going to pray and just lay things down. These rocks, so just picture these rocks. You know, think about the things that are in your life that are distractions, your mind, your emotions, where you need healing. Maybe it's addictions. Maybe it's just continued brokenness. And here's what I want you, I don't want you to leave so discouraged. I want you to understand you have God in you, okay? You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You don't need to do anything today to get God. You have him. If you're in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, then this would be a good time. But you guys have God. You have his presence. But don't you want more? Don't you want to be filled? Don't you want to be emptied? Where John said, I must decrease, right? When John's saying that, he's just like, I want to decrease. I want less rocks. So that when you look at me, you just see a clear glass, right? And not seeing me. So God, we even now come to you in your presence. We choose, God, just to dwell within, God, to turn our gaze inward right now. Just turn your gaze. Just everybody close their eyes. Turn your gaze inward. Don't look around. See what somebody else is doing. Just turn inward. God, would you just reveal things even for just a couple minutes? What are the things, God, that have distracted us? Where are our emotions out of line, God? We just choose to submit again to you today, God. Somebody's being controlled by anger, just lay your anger down. Just surrender that anger to him. See, here I just felt like the Lord said, so some of us, our body, you guys, some of us have covered ourselves and you've put layers over your heart. So you've got this bag that's over and everybody's got external things, right? It might be your busyness, right? You're just proving to everybody that you're okay, you're working hard. And so see, you guys, when we minister out of the flesh, when I minister out of the soul, see, this isn't just for you all, this is for Pastor Rob and I. See, I could come this morning and put on a very good appearance to you guys. I can say very religious stuff. I can work really, really hard. But I don't want people to know that there's rocks. So I'm just carrying my bottle and I'm protected, right? So just for a second, just go inward. Just think, what's in your heart? What's in your soul realm? So some of you, it's trust issues, right? Just for this moment, if maybe just put your walls down just for a second. I understand sometimes we need them for security and God's dealing and healing with that, he knows. But just for a second, would somebody be willing to put their walls down? I really feel, is there anybody that just needs some special prayer right now? If you feel, just raise your hand if you need any special prayer, right? Some of you have put walls up. Really feel this strong. Somebody's got walls up. I'm just asking to begin just for a few minutes, be vulnerable with God, to allow his presence to come.